flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
What's going on here, we take with a lot of love because he treats us right. How we practice, how we prepare, how we're able to come into the building, how we're able to go to meetings post-practice comfortable, and we don't have to be soldier-like uniforms, and we could just be ourselves. And a lot of places are not like that, and we're thankful for it here. He'll get some. You'll see.
You'll see.
Deion Dawkins, I love how spirited he always is.
Phenomenal.
He's just talking about Coach Sean McDermott and how he's not up for Coach of the Year at all. And at the end of that clip, he goes, "We'll get him something. You'll see." And that's just
love that.
I love his offensive lineman of the year thought.
Deion Dawkins had a lot of good things to say yesterday, and it was great. That I know Zach replayed that on Nightcap for everyone, and it was again Dawkins went in on everything. First thing he said though was they stole my candy. About his teammates, like, you know, just, and he goes, sharing is caring, but like, yeah, they took my candy, like,
yeah.
I'm like, that's the greatest first line for an interview ever.
Mm-hmm.
But here we are, Bills, Chiefs, AFC Championship. Ooh. I'm thinking I'm going to be a lot more nervous for this game
tomorrow
than I was last week. Heading in, like,
yeah.
I was at like ready. Like you and I, we had the same energy of like, we're ready. Let's
confident,
do this.
Like not an overconfidence, but a confidence that they could get it done. We were ready for it.
But just our biggest thing was probably like, yeah, let's start the dang thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm kind of just like, yeah, it's Saturday. Can we be there now? And I would imagine that Bruce Nolan agrees with us here on the Wester Hotline.
You know, it's funny. I actually have an opposite take. I know it's strange. I was far more nervous last week than I am this week. And it's not because of my speculative, are the Bills going to win? It's just because of the consequences. So if the Buffalo Bills were to have lost to the Baltimore Ravens, there had been so much bad blood on social media.
Oh, yeah.
And there had been so much nonsense that you think, I'm going to have to sit in this all off season long, where the Ravens fans are just going to be constantly in my mentions over and over and over. Now, I don't have to worry about that so much because I can just take a screenshot I'm going to use a lot over the next couple of months and just post it every single time they have something to say. And I'll be like, listen, you couldn't get it done. And so it's created this narrative in Baltimore where the Bills are to the Ravens what the Chiefs are to the Bills. which is, listen, man, you can beat us in the regular season all you want, but until you actually win when it matters, then you don't have anything to say. So it feels different for me than maybe it does for you.
I think it has to do more with Bruce. This is now their best shot at getting to a Super Bowl. And for me, I've been saying it to friends this week, and this is the first time I'll say it on air. Anyone still mad about 13 seconds officially needs to let it go, because this is now their best opportunity that they have at a Super Bowl. People do conveniently forget that, yes, you had to win against Cincinnati the next week, and even the Chiefs didn't do that. This is different. This is you win. You trip up the Kansas City Chiefs in the postseason for the first time with these two variations of these teams, and you're there. You're there. This is not the divisional round. This is not any of the other nonsense. This isn't the first AFC Championship game appearance with this group where, you know, they found that first sense of success and they probably, like, overpunched with their weight class. They punched higher than their weight class. This is different. They're a team expected to do this sort of thing, and here they are entering the season not expecting to do this.
I agree with you. I think that's a fantastic point, that we had historically been using those terms over and over again, that was their best chance. That was their best chance. And I don't know if that's true anymore. This is the best chance. And you brought up a great point. You still had to get past Cincinnati. And that was the Cincinnati team where their defense was essentially carrying them. You know, people think about Joe Burrow carrying them to the postseason, but in that postseason, the Cincinnati defense was the real stellar piece of that team in that postseason. And so you still had to get past them. But this time, you have to get past the Chiefs team. Now, the thing that you don't love to see is that the Chiefs are getting healthier and are better than they've been and more equipped than they've been, potentially since early in the season when they lost Rashee Rice to a Patrick Mahomes friendly fire knee injury. This is probably as healthy, as well equipped as they've been. They got Hollywood Brown back. It's a different set of Bills teams than you've seen earlier in the year, but it's also a different set of Chiefs players than you saw earlier in the year. So I don't know if you can necessarily take a lot from earlier in the year, because different sets of people. We didn't have Spencer Brown, and you saw how well Spencer Brown played last week against the Ravens, who are number one rush defense in the league. He was out there moving people around. And so you come into this game with some fair, you know, confidence that you're going to be able to run the ball, and you're not going to need the crazy heroics that you needed at 13 seconds. It's a different ball game entirely, but it's still the best chance. So I really like the way you worded that.
Bruce, I don't know if you've seen it, the national talking heads, right? They're talking about it's Stephen A. Smith, Ryan Clark going at how this game, the offensive game plan. You mentioned a little bit of it. I guess, what is your prime outlook? Is Superman putting the cape on throughout the entire game, or are they really just going to play a really complimentary game of football and just not turn the ball over like last week? Where's your head at with where they're going?
I think you saw it a little bit with the Ravens game. I think you put the cape on in the red zone. I think the idea that all of a sudden Josh Allen becomes the offense to be able to say, listen, the difference between getting into the end zone and not getting into the end zone and those 4 points against the Kansas City Chiefs is a deal breaker every single time. So when we get close to the stripe, Josh Allen, it's time. Put your cape on. But we don't necessarily need you to put it on at the 40. It would be great if you did, but we're confident on first and 10, we can run the ball. We can get 5 or 6 yards. We can stay ahead of the sticks. But then when we get close, all of a sudden, Josh Allen's rushing attempts, his rushing leeway, all of a sudden it's the, you know what? We've got a 245-pound quarterback. Let's go get six. I have a feeling that you're going to see similar stances to that, especially when you consider the fact that the Chiefs are not the run defense, although they're a great defense. They're not the run defense that the Baltimore Ravens are, and Spagnuolo is primarily dedicated to blitzing, right? So when you think that I want to avoid negative plays on offense, I feel confident I can run the ball, I think it's a put your cape on when you get close to the end zone sort of game.
Bruce Nolan of the Bruce Exclusive joining us here on the Western Hotline. Bruce, you mentioned the Chiefs in that run defense. At the time, back in the regular season, the Chiefs were the best run defense in the National Football League, as a matter of fact. The Bills tried running the football and then got away from it because they realized it was not working. But this Bills team is predicated on more balance, and even against a good Ravens run defense, I don't want to say, well, in the first half, I'll say they out-Baltimored the Ravens with the power style of football, with running it, with having more of this balance to them, and being a bit better with the time possession, long drives, and scoring touchdowns at that point. Against the Chiefs, you mentioned it. This is not the same matchup as it was in the regular season because there are different players that did not play. The Bills had some players out. The Chiefs had plenty of players out. This is now still going to be different. I'm starting to think, though, that the Bills and their best chance of winning against Kansas City is not to try to replicate anything, but just try to be themselves as they were in that stretch where they were scoring 30-plus points throughout, and I do believe that was an 8-game stretch.
I agree with you. I don't think you go into this game plan and you think to yourself, wow, you know, I really need to be somebody different. I need to be somebody that I'm not. This is a different Bills offensive line when Spencer Brown is healthy and playing, right? The Bills are a little bit southpawish when it comes to their rushing attack, right? You want to jab with your right, jab with your jab, right, and all of a sudden you get tackle wrap, where you have Deion Dawkins coming around from the left side with a big smack. Like, this is the type of thing that the Bills can't do. As much as we like Ryan Vandermark as a swing tackle, it's not the same Buffalo Bills offensive line without Spencer Brown. And so there's nothing in your personnel that tells you you need to be different. And the confidence from last week tells you you don't need to be different. So if those two things together are not pushing you in the direction of, I need to be a different person than I was, then there's no reason to start that. Now, obviously, if you come out and for whatever reason they've got you bottled up, then you need to be able to make adjustments. But going in with a singular game plan, going, okay, listen, we're going to come out and we're going to be something completely different than we've been all year long, I don't think it's necessary, and there's nothing in the history or the personnel would tell you that you would need to be.
Bruce, looking now, you mentioned fallout, right, from a loss in the AFC Championship and the consequences. This would be the first time a quarterback would be 0-4 against another quarterback. What do you make of the legacy shift either way with a win or loss for Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes' rivalry?
It's going to matter, and it probably shouldn't, and that's unfortunate. Quarterbacks don't play quarterbacks, so I know that we like to be reductive, and we like to do that whole, well, you know, Patrick Mahomes is 0-4 against, you know, Patrick, you know, Tom Brady, or Tom Brady's 1-2 against Eli Manning, whatever it is, right? And it's a shame that we do that. I know why we do that. We do that because we like being reductive, and it's way simpler than dealing into the nuances of wins and losses. But dealing with the nuances of wins and losses would give you a lot more content. So I don't know why we need to do that when we have the ability to go deeper. But the truth is that that will generate the national media. It will generate the stories. It shouldn't, but it will, because we like to do that. And we do the same thing. You've seen the storylines going around social media this week about Michael Jordan's parallels. Jordan in the Bulls versus the Pistons. He was 0-3. He was 7 years in the league. All the parallels between Jordan when he finally got over the Pistons hump to Josh Allen and potentially getting over the Chiefs hump. It's unfortunate because Josh Allen isn't playing the entire team and the entire team isn't playing Josh Allen. But we know how this goes. If the Buffalo Bills do lose this game, no matter how well Josh Allen plays, the conversation from people like Ryan Clark will be, what's the score? He didn't get it done, because that's the exact same thing he said last year, which is, if the score is not in the Bills' favor, then clearly he didn't do enough, which we both know is not true, but that's the way they like to look at things at that high level. So it's going to be a narrative, and it's going to be really annoying.
I do like that Joe brought that up with you, Bruce. As the biggest champion that I know of, wins are not a quarterback stat. Mm-hmm. So I did find that very fitting. He was like wide-eyed, ready to go with that one. He's like, I want to ask Bruce this question. And I'm like, he's the perfect guy to ask that to. Bruce, though, when it comes down to it, there is one thing that you have to look out for in this game, and that is, how have the Chiefs managed to win these close games? And this year it has been through their defense and its talent overall this year. With Buffalo banged up in the secondary now, Taylor Rapp not playing in this game, Christian Benford questionable due to a concussion, are you worried about any sort of potential defensive battle, seeing as how Kansas City would be healthier than Buffalo heading into this one on that side of the field?
Absolutely. They're trending in opposite directions. Since the last time the Buffalo Bills played them, the Buffalo Bills are less healthy in the secondary, and the Chiefs are more healthy with their offense skill positions. They got Isaiah Pacheco back, although he's been splitting carries with Kareem Hunt and doesn't look like the same Isaiah Pacheco quite yet. You have the rise of playoff Travis Kelce, which is a completely different animal than regular season Travis Kelce, and you have Hollywood Brown now. So if you think about the one scenario where you didn't want to lose somebody, it was probably in the defensive secondary because they're trending in one direction and you're trending in another direction. So absolutely, I get concerned about things like that. I think that one of the things that you look at is even when the Kansas City Chiefs had an offense that wasn't putting up tremendous points earlier in the year, they were still leading the NFL in success rate, right? They were still controlling the ball. They were still keeping the game close. They were still being able to pull things out because situationally they've proven to be one of the best teams in football history, situationally, over the last couple of years, because Patrick Mahomes can control a game like that when he has the ball in his hands. And that is a challenge when you have defensive secondary players who are out. Losing Taylor Rapp is concerning. If the Bills go in without Christian Benford, I'm very concerned at that point, because now you're trending in, you know, -2 to +2 on their end, right? They got back Pacheco, they got back Hollywood Brown, and you've lost. You're down 2 and they're up 2. So it's a swing of 4 players, and that's meaningful when it comes to that passing attack, and that changes the game.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So also just looking at different positions for players on the Chiefs side of things, Joe Tooney is moving to, well, he moved to left guard, right? So that put an undrafted free agent at the left guard position, right? So what do you think that makes for the Bills defensive line, who's actually been playing very well the past few weeks, really putting things together? And Von Miller's now matched up with Tooney on the outside on that side. But do you think they're going to be able to get to Mahomes, get some pressure home, throw some pressure on the quarterback?
That was one of the keys to the victory earlier this year, was that the defensive line came up with a really good game. And, you know, we talked about this a lot leading up to the Ravens game, that this defense is going to go as the interior defensive line takes them. And in games when they have performed well, the Bills defense has performed well. And in games where they haven't performed well, the Bills defense has not performed well. There's a very strong correlation between the play of the interior defensive line for the Buffalo Bills and the play of the defense as a whole. And if you think about last playoffs, Ed Oliver disappeared against the Chiefs and just got engulfed. Well, Tooney is not there anymore. He's on the left tackle side. And we're not talking enough about how well Joe Tooney has done sliding over to left tackle and just being like, yeah, sure, I'm a left tackle now, and playing at a high level because he's awesome. That's what he does. But if you move over and vacate that left guard spot, you bring in an undrafted free agent, and now you face Ed Oliver and Daquan Jones, and you shut them down. The drumbeat for the Buffalo Bills defensive line, after all the resources invested this offseason, is going to be big. It's going to be meaningful, because you're going to want a defensive line that performs like your offensive line does. So it's one of those scenarios where you almost feel like you can tell in the first couple of drives, if the Bills defensive line on the interior is able to get pressure and push people back and make plays, you feel good about your chances. And if they don't, you start getting concerned.
Yeah, Bruce, that's a pain point. The defensive line in playoff losses has typically been on an underwhelming side. But let's talk about the positives with the defensive line. You mentioned how the interior is going to be important in this game. And I think since the halfway point of this season, Ed Oliver has become Ed Oliver again. And it is very important for that resurgence to form to have happened here heading in to the AFC Championship game.
Absolutely. I mean, this is a player that you kind of paid based on the trajectory you thought he was on, right? Ironically enough, the Spencer Brown contract and the Ed Oliver contract are similar. They were both signed at players where they had a good year, they had a not good year. You kind of thought maybe they were on the upswing. And in both cases, the year immediately after their contract extension, they really played well. Ed Oliver's best season was last season until you got to the playoffs, right? And for Spencer Brown, same thing. He signed this offseason. This has been clearly his best season. He's getting national publicity. Everyone's like, oh my gosh, look what Spencer Brown turned into. And so it's a matter of, did you leave a bad taste in your team's mouth? And last year, we were all feeling really good about the Ed Oliver contract, and he was all like, hey, look, I'm going to make them all shut up, and he did. And then all the way up until the Chiefs game of the playoffs. Well, now it's time again. So as he goes, so too does that build into your defensive line, and it's going to be something that I am immediately locked into early on in the game.
So, Bruce, looking at also the NFC matchup, Eagles, Commanders. If the Eagles advance, this is kind of where my head's been at, and the Bills advance, that gives the opportunity for the NFC East to completely run the table on the Bills and Super Bowls.
Hey, bringing this up.
And I just want to get your thoughts on that. Are you nervous about that at all? Like, I know it's a lot to think about ahead of time, but is that where your head's at, or are you just focusing on this?
I'm not nervous about it because of that. I'm nervous about it because my brother is a Philadelphia Eagles fan.
Oh, I gotcha.
So I would very much not like to have to deal with that because, number one, he's going to want to get together for the Super Bowl if the Bills get there, and I'm going to want to not to get together for the Super Bowl. So there's going to be a social gathering I'm going to have to decline, and then also I have to deal with that nonsense if the Buffalo Bills lose. So I'm not interested. Plus, I'll level with you, every one win that the Commanders get is just one more stab into the little gut of Dan Snyder. So
yes.
Let's go Commanders.
Yes.
Let's make it happen.
Bruce, I knew I could count on you for the right answers. I always knew that. Finally, your final thoughts here heading into this game. If you are a prediction man, I'll let you put one here. I'm not because I know my jinxing powers at this point, so I've even just stopped entirely.
I am not a prediction man. However, I will say that there is an eerie sense of calm around this team for this matchup.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a different animal. I think it's a different vibe. I think it's their best chance. And I'm going in with that same level of calm because they seem to be calm. That this is a team that can play. I know it's a buzzword around the Buffalo Bills and not always necessarily a positive one. They can play complementary football. This is the kind of thing we've been talking about. Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills beat a really, really good team last week, and Josh Allen was Clark Kent. He wasn't Superman. He can still be that, but he doesn't always need to be on every snap. And the fact that he doesn't need to be makes the moments where he is more meaningful. So for the Buffalo Bills, the idea that you can do that, that you can assure your quarterback, hey, you know what? Now's the time. Go do that thing. But then, you know what? We're going to have you hand off the ball a couple times, and you don't have to freak out because we're still going to get the first down. We're still going to ice this game with Ty Johnson and unbelievable blocking, which we almost completely glazed over that. The fact that the Buffalo Bills first and 10 got, you need a first down to close out the Ravens. All of a sudden you hand the ball off once, he gets it, it's over. Like there was no struggle at all to do that. They knew you were running to run out the clock. That's the type of confidence that you can have when your offensive line is playing this well. And that's the type of thing that gives you an eerie sense of calm going into the game. And I have an eerie sense of calm going into the game. I would not be surprised if we're having a conversation in a couple days about the Buffalo Bills going to the first Super Bowl since the 1990s.
Bruce, saying it just makes it feel that much cooler.
Mm-hmm.
Like being able to say it out loud, whether it's here on the station with your podcast, by the way, go ahead and grab that. It's the Bruce exclusive on all those podcast platforms. It just to be able to say that and it legitimately means something and be able to throw its weight around, I feel like that's the most fun part in all of this, is being able to say that, and it really does mean something.
Yeah, it really does. And it means something to the city. It means something to this team. It means something to these players. It means something to the narrative. And I think really that team has connected with this fan base. It's connected with the idea that there's nobody out there who wants to rub it in people like Jerry Coleman's face every day more than Buffalo Bills fans, because we all know a Jerry Coleman, right? We grew up with a Jerry Coleman.
Mm-hmm.
We had people in our lives who said the exact same thing. Boy, I love losing Super Bowls.
Yep.
We had people make fun of us on the playground. We had people say, you're a Bills fan. Why? We've all listened to things like that growing up, and it's high time to shut them up. And when this time comes, when we get to say, no, I'm sorry, you're wrong, that's done, we get to go, you know what? Thank you, Buffalo Bills, for removing this from my life, from giving me that sense of relief, and for being able to stick it to people like that. And that's what I want.
Bruce, thank you. I enjoy your time as always. It was great to be able to catch up with you. I hope you watch this game in the most pleasant of circumstances. And I hope that we talk again with a lot more on the line.
Gentlemen, thank you for having me. Go Bills.
Thanks,
Bills.
Bruce. Go
Bruce
Bills.
Bruce Nolan of the Bruce Exclusive joining us there on the West Her Hotline. It's cool.
It's cool to even,
we're not even there yet.
No, it's cool to even mention, though, they're one game away and actually have a chance. Like,
and actually
in
have
2020,
that chance.
I don't know what the discourse was around here because I wasn't here yet, but
so the funny thing was is that it was also a bare bones operation.
Yeah, because of COVID.
COVID protocols were still well into place,
mm-hmm.
and like not as many fans could go out and enjoy it.
Yeah, this is the first.
This
like,
is the first time
real.
Now socially.
Mm-hmm.
That you could go out in full force mm-hmm. with this. And this is also, I did not work that championship game last year. I was not here for that.
Mm-hmm.
I was at home recovering from a hip surgery.
That's right. That's
I was
right.
holed
That's
up.
Right. Yes.
So I couldn't go anywhere. I was in crutches the whole nine yards,
oh,
man.
Oh, God.
It sucked. But the big thing was I couldn't really go and enjoy watching it with others either.
Mm-hmm.
That was the other thing.
It wasn't a social experience, unfortunately.
Social experience, you didn't really get that.
Yeah.
The best I had was a couple of friends and I. We watched the game together and were on a Discord server.
Yeah. That's how things happen. Xbox parties, all that
exactly.
stuff. Exactly.
Yeah. So it was a lot different in a social sense, too.
Yeah.
Whereas tomorrow,
this is it.
You, me, Evan, everyone, the nine yards.
Too legit to quit, baby.
We're all here.
Yes.
Tomorrow. As a workplace, we are all together
mm-hmm.
through hell and high water tomorrow.
Yeah.
For the biggest game that we have seen, and for all of us at a certain age group, it is the biggest game that we will have watched.
Yep. With the most stakes.
With the most stakes. And to be able to do it with people together.
Yeah. I do. Can I make one PSA before we go to break?
I just want to finish this thought first.
Absolutely.
The social change between the last time the Bills were in the championship game versus now.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I mean by enjoy it. I mean, there is a legitimate chance that they lose this game. The Kansas City Chiefs did not win 15 games. Okay, maybe they won some of them by fluke. But they won 15 games.
They're a notable team.
It's not even that. They're going for a three-peat. That is not a fluke.
No.
That's not a mistake. That's not something that just happens. They are a legitimate threat. And because of that, you have to be sure. Like Bruce said, there's a strange amount of calm going on here. And I've got a mix of it. I've got like this like angry pit because it's the Chiefs and how they've ruined the Bills' seasons more times than not.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a real sense of nerves. Because this is the biggest game that I have gotten to see from the Buffalo Bills in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Ditto.
And I also have a sense of being heckin' ready to go because this is the biggest game I'll have watched in my lifetime.
Yeah.
It's cool.
And that's all of us as a part of the radio network. We're all in like the same age group. That's minus. I mean,
I'm a tad older than you guys, but like me and Nate were the same age group. But like,
yeah, but we all haven't seen a game like that
at that time. I'm 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember anything of watching a football game.
Right. That's like me when the Sabres were good. I was like 6 years old. Like, there's no shot. I'm digesting
not,
a hockey
I'm
game.
I'm not capable of remembering anything of that.
Yeah.
So now here it is. Ready to go.
In front of our faces.
In front of our faces. The biggest game that we will have watched as two of the younger generations.
Mm-hmm.
And for the older generations, this is the biggest game that you have seen.
Since? Oh, God. There are a couple other ones. But
I'm talking in the social aspect.
Mm-hmm.
This will be the biggest game that we will watch together.
In recent history.
In Buffalo since those 90s teams.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, 4 years ago, we weren't able to be together. And that's the part that really excites me.
Yeah. The camaraderie of it all.
Also low-key terrifies me, but we'll get into that.
Yeah. Live by the sword, die by the sword. One PSA I want to make. I've seen Bills fans start tweeting this some on Twitter or X. It is, who was a Bills fan before it was cool? Let's not start gatekeeping the fan base, please.
Don't need to.
Like, let's not do that because everybody's at an all-time high right now.
Because the answer is everybody.
Everybody.
Anybody who has been a Bills fan since before it was cool.
And these people are like explaining themselves. Like, no one needs to explain themselves how you became a Bills fan.
Ready?
Like,
if you became a Bills fan 3 years ago,
welcome.
Welcome.
That's
power
it.
To you.
Yeah.
If you became a Bills fan this year,
welcome.
Welcome. Mm-hmm. First of all, you're coming in at a bit of an expected low point.
Yeah. Yeah. Welcome.
There's your
you're joining Deadpool. At a bit of
there's
a low
your,
point.
There's your Deadpool homage. But again, there's no
gatekeeping.
There's no bandwagon time to have become a Bills fan.
No.
Are you kidding me? Franchise has zero Super Bowls to their name.
Mm-hmm.
There's no gatekeeping here.
No.
Because at any point that you have joined as a Bills fan, it was before it was cool.
Yes. Even now.
Even now. Because the opponent that they face tomorrow has beaten you 3 out of the last 5 postseasons that you have been a part of. It's been them. You want to talk about jumping onto a team before it was cool? You look at Kansas City, you don't look here. Because it was never cool. It was never cool to be a Bills fan. And we do it anyway. Even the newbies are still nerds being shoved in a locker like the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
Do not gatekeep it. Be fun. Have fun.
I saw that. I had to say something.
And that's good.
Yeah.
That is good to point out. Before it was cool. Bro, when has this been cool?
When has it ever been cool?
When has this been cool at all?
It's been cool recently.
It's been
cool
recently.
For longtime fans finally seeing it.
To varying degrees, but it's never been all the way cool.
No.
We're all hipsters. Get over it.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, no gatekeeping. No gatekeeping.
No gatekeeping. No feeling self-important on this. We're all here together.
Yeah.
No matter when you joined, welcome. Let's have some fun tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
803-0550 is the number to call. We got to get through Booty Cheek of the Week first because there were some weird things that happened around the league. And we got to poke fun at that. And then we'll get back to business. And we've got 2 hours straight of time for your calls starting at noon here on WGR.